Welcome to Another Mother Podcast, a safe place for stepmoms to unravel the blended chaos and share lessons learned, the good, the bad, and the high conflict. I'm your host, Dana, just a stepmom who has struggled to find her role. Now let's grab a drink and talk some shit. So, as you've probably already noticed just by my introduction, it is just Dana today. I am going solo. Unfortunately, Amanda wasn't able to record this week. She's got a crazy schedule going on right now, so I thought I would just hop on here. Might not be our regularly timed show where we kind of go about an hour, but I thought I would just fill in and do just a bit more of maybe an educational episode this week. So don't give me too hard of a time. Talking to myself is weird. I miss Amanda dearly, but hopefully we can learn a few things today. So I will continue doing the podcast and starting it or opening it up with a positive moment. And I thought I would just share a little bit about our weekend that we just had. So we did, we were able to get tickets to a Christmas market here, one of the small towns that's close to us. And it was awesome. I mean, it was a beautiful day, just regular vendors. We got to see Santa Claus. We got to see the reindeer. I'm not sure about anybody else or where you're at or what the rules are right now, but over the last couple of years, our kids haven't been able to have a regular Santa visit, which has really sucked because my stepdaughter is just kind of at that age where it's just probably not going to happen anymore. And I don't know, it just kind of took away a lot of the Christmas magic for my son, I think, too. This year, luckily, he was, I mean, he was fairly excited about it. Again, it's not like there were, anyone will ever sit on Santa's lap again. And if you think about it, it was kind of a weird concept to begin with, considering stranger danger. But anyway, we got to see him. The kids got to, you know, put on a smile and tell him what they were wanting for Christmas. And the reindeer were awesome. The vendors were awesome. Like, it was just the best day. We did a bit of Christmas shopping there just because, you know, we're trying our best to support local for a lot of our Christmas gifts. And so we were going by one of the vendors there. And I know my stepdaughter's really into some jewelry right now. I mean, she always kind of has, but she's more into it now than I guess she has been in the past. And we came across one, and I don't know if you guys know, I maybe don't know the right terminology, but those really simple rings that kind of just have like more of a funny design, a thin, funny design. It's not just like a regular band, but it kind of goes up and down. And so we were looking at some rings. I was hoping that I would find maybe a piece of jewelry that she really liked and kind of sneak back and grab it for her for Christmas. And we came across one ring, and I was like, oh, that's kind of like your ring that you already have. And she was like, yeah, oh my gosh, like, Dana, you should get it. And then we could have matching rings, like mommy daughter rings. And I was like, I really wasn't in the market. I really don't wear a whole lot of rings. I'll wear earrings and necklaces, but not so much rings. And she just begged me. She's like, please get it. That way we can be matching. And so there I went and did it. I got us some matching rings. And I mean, everybody we saw that day, everybody we saw the next day and the day after that was, she was just showing off our mother-daughter rings. So, I mean, again, huge, made me feel wonderful. I love it just as much as she does. And I will wear it all the time. That being said, had this been last year, year before that, definitely the year before that, she would never have suggested it. She would never have even, she would have thought that was maybe overstepping and would have been afraid to maybe hurt her mom's feelings, even though she probably wouldn't have told her. But it's just like a huge step and just kind of goes to show just our bond and our relationship. And I just thought it was like a huge, huge, huge step in the right direction. for us. And it's just something cute that we'll share together. So that is my positive for today. Made me really happy. So hope it made you guys happy too. And I hope maybe that it helps anybody who's feeling like, yeah, right, that'll never fucking happen for me. I would have said the same thing like 2 years ago. So just nothing set in stone. Stay positive, and things can change quicker than you could ever imagine. So wishing you guys all the best out there. So that being said, I think we should probably get started here on our topic today. And I decided to go ahead and do a topic about how to know if you yourself as a stepmother are toxic. And I guess I shouldn't really say toxic. I should say high conflict. We love that word. We love those words, high conflict. So I think a lot of the times when I think of high conflict, I mean, I think I'm with a lot of you when I say I think of just like fighting and bickering and texting and yelling at each other back and forth with bio mom. But it can actually mean a whole lot of things when it comes to being in a blended family. I just do want to give a little PSA that these tips might not all pertain to you. I totally understand that. I know every situation is different. I'm just noticing things that I can reflect on as a stepmom. Since I've been a stepmom for 8 years, I can look back now and look at myself and say, okay, wow, that was pretty high conflict of me, or that was just adding to the tension, that was adding to the situation. And if I could go back, I would do that part over. So these are just lessons that I've learned. I do think it's really important to not always look at others to blame for the problem. Like I think it's really good to look inward and look at yourself and think, what could I do better? This is in no way, shape, or form trying to call out anybody for past reactions or anything like that. It's simply just notes that I have taken over the years that I can say, okay, yes, I could have done better here. Okay. So I'm not trying to call anybody out. It's just simply maybe some things that maybe you can take a listen to and go, oh yeah, maybe I do that. Maybe I could work harder at not doing that. Okay. So yeah, let's just get right at it. I did come up with a good 6 reasons. So let's just go to it. So, first off, I would say arguing with your stepchild about something that bio mom said. Not sure if you've all been there. I don't know if you guys are better at taking the high road than I was. It's not something I did all the time, but I know a few times when I was, you know, really stressed out, really frustrated, like really sick of hearing about her mom after she's tried to maybe read me out a few times here and there, where my stepdaughter has maybe come up with something that her mom said that was way out of line. Totally not fucking worth it to even argue with the kid. I know we all have been to a point where we're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I even said that to them. I shouldn't have said it, word vomit, blah, blah, blah. It's an uphill battle with no winner. Nobody wins. And especially the child doesn't win. She's literally stuck between something her mom said, which is, you know, depending on the child and the relationship with their mother, like they idolize their mom. To them in their heads, a lot of the time, their mother can do no wrong. So when you're just arguing with her over that, it's just, you're going to lose, I promise. And like the vibe just changes immediately. More than likely, the child will go back to their mom and tell her what you said. And then you just end up having a battle with the stepchild in the trenches. And it's just not worth it. And it's just not fair. So there was a time back early on in my relationship with my stepdaughter. She must have been around 7, maybe 8. And we had a pretty great relationship, but there were times when we were out in public when we would be around her mom that she would just be completely disrespectful to me. And it wasn't anything I'd experienced with my stepdaughter before, besides when her mom was around. So I took a lot of shit. Like I took a lot of shit throughout those times until finally, like I just broke and I was upset and I was crying to my spouse. And he was just like, honestly, like I'm going to talk to like his daughter about it. And I begged him not to. And he's like, no, like this is just borderline, like disrespectful. Like no matter what, it's not okay. So I'm going to talk to her about it. So he had a bit of a talk with her. And I said, well, I would like to be a part of that. So I went in and, you know, we talked about it and I kind of asked her like what was going on, like why are sometimes our, like most of the time, 99.9% of the time we're okay. But when we're in mixed company, you know, you treat me differently. And she basically just came right out and said it and said, well, I'm not supposed to like you and my mom doesn't like you. And I just told her, I said, okay. Like, you know, instantly what I feel like I could have said in that moment was like what I low stooping Dana wanted to say was, your mom doesn't know fucking anything and she's an idiot. And like, that still doesn't give you any right to treat me like that. I did in fact say to her that her mom is very much entitled to her opinion. And she's able to think about me whatever she would like to think. But you know me and we have a pretty decent relationship, wouldn't you say? She was like, oh yeah, yeah, I love you. It's like, well, I love you too. The thing about love is that we don't treat the people we love disrespectfully. We never, ever, ever treat them like that. We don't ignore them. We don't eye roll to them. We don't yell at them. We don't call them names. Like, those are things we just don't do to people we love. And I didn't throw her mom under the bus. I just simply said that she's entitled to her opinion, but she is also allowed to have her own. It doesn't always need to align with whoever is around her. So that was just one of the times that was said. There have been a few times where, you know, I've again, been in the trenches, fighting, court, arbitration, mediation, you name it. And just anytime her mom's name even came up, like, I just was like, oh my God, like, I just wanted to die. Like, I hated even just hearing her name because it was basically consuming our life at the moment. And there was just a few things that her mom would say to my stepdaughter and then would just get back to me. And I swear it's the hardest thing I ever, ever, ever had to do. But I'm so happy that I never, ever said what I actually wanted to say, because I know it just would have crushed her. And I feel like our relationship would suffer as a result. So again, it's really hard to do. And I totally understand that. But just arguing about something that bio mom said is just not something that is going to do well for you. So if you can avoid that, then do it, girl. So which brings me to number two. This one hits me hard for sure. It's constantly bringing up sore arguments or experiences about bio mom to your spouse. So I don't know if you've ever, I mean, if you're anything like me, you have. If you've ever gone on a rant about something that bio mom has done in the past, or maybe it's a story that is completely traumatic that your spouse has told you about something that she's done in the past, or maybe it's just something that you're experiencing in the moment due to court or anything. I'm not saying not to vent, but bringing it up all the time is literally, I mean, your spouse is never going to have good, non-stressful feelings about his child's mother if you keep bringing up those things. I don't know, for example, you know, I'm guilty of it. You know, we would be in an okay place of any kind, and maybe I would be the one that's getting attacked more. So, or I feel like I was getting attacked more per se. And I would, you know, bring up past experiences or shitty things that she's done in the past that literally have nothing to do with anything that's going on right now, just to kind of like shed some shitty light on her, maybe. I don't know. But I just noticed, like, instantly it would put my spouse in a stressed out mood because, again, it's one of those things that he just can't control, and it stresses him out and it stops him from sleeping. And so I always, you know, after a while, after I noticed these things that, you know, it's clearly not helping. Like, there's a point of venting and then there's a point of just going way too far and you're just setting bad vibes all around. If your husband's anything like mine, he just, when we were going through any of that, he was just not sleeping whatsoever. So we basically made a rule when we were going through our arbitration, when we were going through mediation, we would just say, there's a time at night after the kids go to bed. We have 20 minutes. We can vent about it till we're blue in the face. After that 20 minutes, we're done. We put it to bed and then we continue on with our lives, because letting it consume you and letting it consume your spouse is completely unhealthy. And it's really easy to let it just completely take over your life. And we were even to the point where, you know, my son was at a certain age and it's just like, he just grew and grew and grew. And it's like, we kept talking about this shit in front of him. And after a while you could tell, like, it was stressing him out to even listen to it. So just finding a time, maybe just to have a window of time, just to maybe discuss those things. If it's heavy on your heart or something that's really upsetting you, I think it's important to express it, but I don't think it's healthy to drag it on and drag it on and drag it on when it's unnecessary. You know, and then if something needed to come up, and say I was talking and venting about bio mom, and then it puts him in a funk, and then perhaps maybe she calls a couple hours later to talk to him about something that has to do with my stepdaughter, and he's instantly triggered. Like, he's like already pissed off with her and he's not even giving her a chance. So I just think there's a time and a place. You do it and then you let it go. So that's my little piece of advice. Don't let it consume your life. Don't let it stress you out. Stress causes illness. It causes lots of bullshit in this world. We already have enough stress, I think, as it is. So it's just really important to just keep things kind of light, let it out, and then let it go. Okay, so moving on to number three. When you dismiss or shut down your stepchild about something that made them happy at the other parent's household. This is something that takes a lot of effort and a lot of practice, and it sounds maybe really easy to those people that, you know, maybe have a pretty good relationship with everybody and everything's smooth sailing. But sometimes just hearing things about the other household, like, I don't care who you are. Sometimes it's just really hard to hear, just for a number of reasons. But I think as long as it's not something dangerous and that has, you know, something that has put her life in jeopardy in some way, which in that case, I would hope you're speaking directly to the other parent, or the parents are talking to each other, whatever. Other than that, I mean, I think it's good. I think it's good to hear about what's going on in their life on the other side of things. We went through years and years and years of my stepdaughter not telling us anything about what happened on that side, because her mom, for whatever reason, would just tell her not to tell us anything. And again, maybe that's because she felt we would make a deal out of anything that she said, because there were some disagreements on some parenting choices, but it made her shrivel up and not want to tell us anything. So literally at one point we were doing 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off, and she would have nothing to say about what she did. We were in the dark completely about 2 weeks of her life at a time. It was so crazy. So we'd, you know, start asking some questions here and there that were light and didn't feel threatening, like she was being quizzed or spied on or anything like that. And again, a bit like, only I would say as of this year has she started really, my stepdaughter's really started engaging and talking to us about her time. Like, you know, she doesn't go into too much detail, and often she'll leave you know, even big things out, but I think she's just protecting herself the best way she knows. But I think if you don't, you know, if you don't take interest in her life on that side, like, I mean, it almost kind of develops two different types of personalities, right? Where she can be, they can be one person on one side and one person on the other. And I think that just after a while, it can get pretty scary and dangerous at a certain age if they're not really letting you in on what's going on that side of things. So I think it's just good. That way you can be involved. You can, you know, ask follow-up questions. Again, I know sometimes it's like really fucking hard to hear about anything to do with the other side, depending on your relationship. But I think if you just focus on how much it lights up the child, I just really do think that, like, if you just keep concentrated on that, there's no way you can go wrong. And you'll find yourself talking more and asking follow-up questions. For the longest time, it was really, really hard for me, just because I was not on good terms with either her mom or her stepdad. So, you know, a lot of the times I was, oh, like, luckily it was in the car. Maybe she'd be telling me, so I could kind of like, yeah, oh, that's great. That sounds lovely. I'm so glad. And I could at least just say that and she could get it out. And she felt, I really hope she felt like it was sincere, because I really, really was trying. My spouse was always way better at this than I am. But now, like, you know, I ask a ton of follow-up questions, or we'll laugh about something, or I'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. I bet your mom was like super happy about that. Like, I say things like that now, and she's so happy that she can tell us this stuff and relate. And, you know, we also kind of get a better knowledge of them, because as much as they've been in my life for the past 8 years, I feel like I don't know them. And so sometimes hearing, you know, her talk about stories about what they've been doing or what they've been up to, it kind of like gives me a better picture of like who they are, and like, do they have a sense of humor, or that, like, because all I know them as they hate me, right? So it kind of gets interesting, and you can just see, you know, the sparkle back in her eye of like loving that she can talk about at least that side of her life too. I don't know if it's reciprocated on the other side. I really hope it is, but I think if we can at least do that, at least that's bonus, right? In the beginning too, I would just rotate my who, what, when, where, and whys, so that I don't always sound like I'm saying the exact same thing after everything that she says. We always kind of make fun, because my son will kind of inform her of things that, you know, he's done while she's been gone to her mom's. And every time he says something to her, she always responds with, "That's cool, bud." Like, she says it about everything, and that's all she's got. Like, that's all she gives him. And so I always try to, and I can see that, like, my son's like, whatever, I don't want to fucking tell you anything, because all you just say is, "That's cool, bud." So I try and change what I say. Like, I'll be like, "Oh, cool. Who was there? Oh, that's awesome. Oh, what was it that you were doing? What else did you do? Or when was that? Was that on the weekend, or was that during the week? Or where was that? Where were you?" Like, I literally will rotate those. I don't think she's caught on yet, but I find it just helps. It helps her engage. It helps her feel like we, you know, because we are interested. We want to know, just because she goes between homes and she's shared by four people doesn't mean that we don't want to know what's going on with her and her life over there. So that, I think, is super important. It's super fucking hard, but it's super important. Okay, which brings me to number four. This one's obvious, but I think we've all been there a time or two, and it's bashing the other parent's parenting choices in front of the child. This doesn't necessarily need to mean what you think it means. It doesn't need to mean, you know, you're calling her a fucking idiot, or that was a stupid choice, and you shouldn't, like, it doesn't need to necessarily be aggressive, but it can be like underhanded. It can be a lot of, "Well, that's not something I would have done, but okay." Or, you know, something sarcastic like that, which kind of makes the child feel, I don't know, like, I imagine it would make them feel pretty shitty. Like you're attacking the other parent. I don't care which parent it is, but I just feel like it would make them feel pretty bad. Because again, when you attack the other parent in front of the child, you're attacking part of the child too, right? Like, I think we can all acknowledge that. Always easier said than done, especially when you're heated and in the moment or it's something really major. Of course, you have every right to be upset with something that, you know, it's not something that you value or it doesn't align with any of your values or anything like that. Like, I think we're all really entitled to be like, what the fuck, in our heads, right? But it's really, really, really important to just save that. And if you need to, take a step back and breathe. And then if it's something that you really, really feel like uncomfortable with, or, you know, something that you felt was dangerous or just didn't align with your values, I think it's really, really important that you take that up with the other parent instead of, you know, giving the child shit who all they were doing was experiencing what they were told they were allowed to experience from the other parent. You know, I think majority of the time, I don't think any of us completely agree with the other parent, their choices. And that being said, they don't have to be your ex for you to disagree. Like, I know there's things that my spouse does that I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really feel like that was a good idea, or that's not something I would have done, but he's the parent, right? So he's not putting them in any danger. He's not teaching them anything bad. So sometimes you just got to pick and choose your battles, right? It can put you in an awkward position, but it's just important to maintain your composure and just simply explain that although the rules may be different between homes, that these are your rules here. And I can't stress this enough after many fuck ups on our end of things. It's just so important to be clear about what the rules are at your house. And again, I always state, you know, I can't speak for your mom or the rules that are at her home. These are the rules here, though, and I'm sorry that they're different, but these are the rules here, and they're the rules because blah, 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 and we love you, and that's why those rules are there. But we really try really hard not to undermine. We have in the past. I can't think of any specific examples right now of the past, but one that's recent. I'm not sure if anybody saw my stories here a couple days ago, I think it was. My stepdaughter had put her laundry on, and of course, I pick and choose my battles. She does her own laundry, but it takes her about 3 days to complete one load because she forgets about it. So I had to get a load going. So I intervened. I started moving her stuff over, and I'm kind of shaking things out and hanging things up and putting some things in the dryer. And I came across one of her crop tops, and a tank top crop top. Okay. And I always kind of like half sigh when I see them. I'm like, oh, fuck, because I hate crop tops. And again, we have rules about that. It has to meet the jean line or it's a no-go. So I'm hanging that up. Then I come across another one, and I'm like, is this a bra or is this a shirt? Like, what the shit? Like, this can't be a bra, but it also can't be a shirt. Like, what the hell? So I call my spouse then, and I'm like, what do you make of this? And he's like, what is that? And I'm like, well, I mean, it looks like a bra, but it's not. It's from Garage Clothing. And last I checked, they don't make bras there. So I'm pretty sure this is a top. And so he's like, you know, like, I could handle this. But I was like, well, I can handle it if you want to. He's like, I would prefer you do. And just let her know what the rules are here, which we've already been very clear about these. Like, they call them crop tops, but I don't know. I'm just going to call them a fucking bra because that's what the kids are wearing now. So, you know, I went upstairs. I said, hey, like, I was just switching your stuff over. I came across this. Like, can you explain it to me a little bit? And she was like, well, what? I was like, is it a bra or a shirt? She's like, it's a shirt. I was like, well, if I have to question it, then it's too short. And she was like, okay. And I said, you know, like, I understand that you probably bought this on your mom's time. And if, you know, her rules are her rules, but you know the rules here. You're not allowed to be wearing them. They're not acceptable. Here's why. And you're only a child for so long. You know, be a child, and then you can be an adult for the rest of your life. And so, again, didn't throw her mom under the bus. If that's what she wants her daughter wearing, I didn't say this, but if that's what she wants her daughter wearing, then that's what you want your daughter wearing. We just don't think it's appropriate. So we just said, like, don't bring it back. And that was that. So she did that. I saw that she had packed it up. I guess it would have yesterday. And she took it back to her mom's, and that's that. So I didn't need to make her feel bad about her mom's parenting choices, but I just told her these are the rules here, and that's just kind of how it goes. So she didn't look or feel like she was attacked or her mom was attacked, and she knows that those types of clothes can stay over there. So that's just one example, I guess. Number five, attacking your spouse for something bio mom did. I've been here, and it sucks because when the anger and frustration gets the best of you, it just happens, right? And sometimes we just take it out on people, and it sucks. And I feel really bad for doing it in the past. When I think about my spouse, I know how powerless he feels in this situation. I know how different he would have things if he had more of a say in my stepdaughter's life. And there's just lots of things that he can't control. And it really just doesn't help when everyone's jumping down his throat on how he should handle it. It's a helpless feeling. And, you know, it's a helpless feeling when you don't have your kids full time. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I see how well my son does, and he's just being able to stay. And I can't imagine how hard it is for my stepdaughter and for my husband for just having to give her up. Like, I know a lot of times when she used to leave, like, he used to cry. He used to cry for like the first hour she was gone. He used to get really down in the dumps. And then he'd be worried. Like, he would constantly be worried. Like, we did not have a good track record with bio mom. And oftentimes we didn't even get to hear from my stepdaughter for a couple weeks at a time. She wouldn't allow us to call. She wouldn't allow her to call us. There were sometimes through the holidays, like, we wouldn't see her for 3 weeks because we just weren't allowed to have her for Christmas. So, in those frustrating moments where it's Christmas and, you know, like, I feel like obviously she should be able to be here as well. This was a time before court, before there was anything on paper where she felt in control and he felt powerless. And so that is the whole reason why we ended up getting a lawyer. But that being said, there were times where I was so upset because, you know, like, Christmas is also my birthday, and it's also a time when I feel like, you know, both kids should be opening their gifts and what have you. And I would get super duper emotional, and I'd be like, why aren't we doing anything more about this? And, you know, in a sense, I feel bad for saying these things because I'm like, well, you should just call her. You should just go pick her up. You should just do this. You should just do that. And it's like, he's already been in these situations so many times before where he's tried these things and it escalated really, really badly. And he just didn't feel like putting, you know, his daughter in that type of situation again, and, like, you know, police involved or anything like that. So it just gets to a point. But as, you know, his new spouse, did I know that? No, I didn't know they had gone through that whole thing. But I think had I not said sometimes and gave him a little bit of that push, like, I mean, we may not be where we are today, where we're amicable, we're able to get through holiday seasons now, which, little hint, that'll be our next topic coming up here, preparing for the holidays and your schedule. You may need a drink or two for that one. But yeah, I just think, like, pressuring them and making them feel a certain way, like, I think there's a way around it. I think there's a way of you talking to them, to talk to your spouse about these things. But I don't feel like in the heat of the moment, it's worth it. I mean, I've seen, and that's another reason why I stopped, because I've seen him tell, you know, his own mother these things because he's very upset and he's hoping to vent and, you know, get some wisdom from his mom. And his mom's kind of giving him the gears on what she thinks he needs to do and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just like, okay, I'm staying way out of that one. I'm not going to suggest all these things. If he asks me, absolutely. But I'm going to let him come to me on these ones. So I just feel like, and I may be wrong here, but I feel like from what I'm gathering from the men that I know that are in these, you know, split homes, sharing custody, they kind of get the shit fucking end of the stick, man. Like there are some fucking kick-ass dads out there and they are just, they have no say. It's just because they're the dad and the mom gets to say everything. And, you know, she gets to decide when you get them and how the schedule works and, you know, they're going to move and, oh, sorry, sucks to be you. I know you just moved closer to us, but now I'm moving farther away. It's like the worst, most helpless feeling. And again, I do feel like, I mean, you can look it up yourself, but men have the highest suicidal rate, especially divorced men. They have the highest suicidal rate. It is at an alarming rate. And I think it has everything to do with the fact that they get the shit end of the stick when it comes to the divorce and when it comes to the custody of those children. So I just feel like the less pressure we put on them, the better. We can just say, like, I'm here if you need me. If you want to talk about it, like, I'm here. I'm more than willing to, like, discuss things with you and maybe come up with some ideas. But I think it's just really important for us to be the support in those moments, because I know, again, I can't speak for every man, I can't speak for every husband, and I'm sure there's lots of stepmoms out there that are like, why the fuck aren't you doing more? Because, you know, like I'd be lying if I said I didn't think that before too, but I just think that they feel like it's hopeless. And so doing your research, you know, finding different, you know, studies on like, hey, this is kind of relatable to our situation. And like, look what happened with them. And like, maybe talking with other stepmoms. We have a fucking awesome community growing here on the Another Mother Instagram page. It's been wonderful so far. So if you're looking to reach out to other moms, or I mean, Amanda and I are always here to lend an ear. We both have really different situations. That are really complex, but I mean, we're more than willing to talk about it and to help anybody through it too. So I think the more people you kind of reach out to, the better. And you can maybe give your spouse a little bit of hope of things that can hopefully change. Okay, and last but not least, I don't know if anyone can relate to this, and I'd love to hear some feedback on anybody who has. But don't comment on what the other step-parent should or shouldn't be doing. I don't know if anyone's been there, but I have. I've been a little bit judgmental on my stepdaughter's stepdad in the beginning, because he was never around. He never came to anything. It sounded like he was never really at the house. I know now that he was just building up his business and probably working his ass off to build it up. But I was judgy back then. I didn't say it out loud, but I just thought, I wonder why he's never here and I'm always here, you know? But, I know he had lots of opinions about me too. There was a time when, you probably all know, according to my Instagram post, that throughout the years that my stepdaughter has been in my life, I have taken her for a handful of haircuts because they're just not consistent enough. So then I finally just say, okay, like, let's go. And just trims. And I did take my stepdaughter one time to get a trim, and my stepdaughter went to school the next day. Her stepdad picked her up from school, and my stepdaughter was like, do you like my hair? And he was like, who took you to get that done? And she was like, Dana. And he was like, she's not allowed to take you. She's not allowed to be taking you to hair appointments. And then, of course, that triggered my stepdaughter. Then she went home, and then her mom came home from work, and her mom flipped out that I took her. And it was a whole thing. And that's why it's always been a thing when I do take my stepdaughter. And yeah, so when we actually went to arbitration, I was like, oh yeah, and like, you're telling like her straight to her face that I'm not allowed to take her to an appointment? And he's like, yeah, you're not. And I couldn't believe that he actually said it, because I know for a fact that he takes her to her orthodontist appointments. Of course he does. He's a parent. He's a step parent. Why shouldn't he be able to take her? No one's complaining that he takes her. But because I took her for a trim, nothing drastic, a trim is like the worst thing I could fucking do. So needless to say, he got put in his place by our arbitrator and said, like, you aren't able to make those comments. Her mom is not even able to make those comments. If you have a problem with it, you can talk to Dana about it. Otherwise, you leave the child out of it. So that being said, I do know and respect that lots of step parents have different types of relationships with their stepkids. And especially like now with me, with my stepdaughter, we are super close because she's just at an age where, you know, she's like getting a little bit more mature and she's, you know, wanting to see how I'm doing my hair, or she likes shopping a little bit more, or like she's more interested in like, you know, going on hikes with me, or, you know, my TV show or whatever. So we are able to have a lot in common there, where I mean, I can't imagine how relatable it is for her stepdad and her right now, because she's just at that age where it's just like, she's super girly. It's all girl talk, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I think they have a pretty good relationship. I just don't know how deep it runs, and that's their business. That's fine. But there's so many different types of relationships out there. And sometimes, you know, like we all know this, the bio parents are sometimes are at work or they're busy, and, you know, step parent fills in to take them, you know, to go get a birthday present for their friend for a birthday party coming up, or they need to take them to an appointment or this or that, the other. There's some step parents that just utterly refuse to do those things because they just want to stay as far away from that as possible. That's okay if that works for them. If that's something that really, really works for your family dynamic, then that's okay. But I think being less judgy about what a step parent's role is in the child's life is just one step closer to us having basic human rights as step parents. You know what I mean? I do respect the fact that they have a really good relationship. I do respect the fact that, you know, like he's been in her life just as long as I've been in her life. And I've seen him, you know, be a parent to her. And I just think that's really wonderful. And I think the odd time, you know, she calls him dad, just like, you know, the odd time she calls me mom. And there are no hard feelings. Like, I know my spouse even says, he's like, I said, would you be mad? Because her mom was mad that I was being called mom sometimes. I said, are you mad that she maybe calls him dad sometimes? He's like, no, I'm happy that they're close enough that she feels like she can call him that. I'd be more mad if there was no connection at all and he wasn't trying. So, you know, like, I think it just depends on the person. There's tons of different types of relationship, and it just depends on the family dynamic, I think, as well. So I think it's just unfair to judge or make claims about the other parent when we don't really know, because we're not there. So I think that's pretty much it. If you guys have anything to add onto that list, I would love to hear more. I'm sure we can all think of it. Again, these are just things that maybe we unknowingly participate in or say, and we don't even think about it just because we're just in a funk, or we're busy, or we're tired, or this and that. So if you have anything to add, please feel free to post on our social media, or you can email us, or you can just add a comment. I'll be sure to be posting that the new episode will be out. So you can just let us know if there's any more that you can think of. Okay. So thank you so much for listening to Another Mother Podcast and being a part of our community. Remember, no matter how unique your situation, you are not alone. To be a part of the show, make episode topic suggestions, or to share your story, please email info@anothermotherpodcast.ca. And make sure to follow at Another Mother Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and please leave us a rating on your preferred podcast app if you enjoyed the show. Bye.